Okay, tonight we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. And if any man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but unto us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Excuse me. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idol, unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commends us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither are we if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see you, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him that is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? But when you sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother offend, I will eat no flesh while the world stands, lest I make my brother to offend. Rather short chapter, but it's got some meat in it. No pun intended. Okay? We know that this book is written to who? It's written to the first fruit. From the very first chapter, what did we say about it? What's the Corinthians mean? Saturated, filled. That's the first fruit, the ones that are filled to the brim, the first fruit. So we start out this thing, and Paul is saying, now as touching or as concerning, should be, now concerning not just things, but the things offered, or let me say it another way. The word where it says offered to idols comes out of one word. And let me say what it should say in the language, rather. It says, now concerning the idolatrous offering. That's what it says. Now concerning the idolatrous offerings. We know that all possess knowledge. That's what it should say. We know that all possess knowledge. We all possess some knowledge, don't we? That's what he's saying. Knowledge does what? Literally, it makes you proud. Knowledge can make you proud. But charity, or literally love, is what the language says. It's the Greek word agape, number 26 in your Greek dictionaries. It edifies, or what's another word for edifies? What it should say, really. Edify is not really a good word. It confirms or it builds up. Love will always confirm things in you for a positive thing. It will always lift you up. And what was the word you say, encourage? Encourage. That's what love does. Love does not edify. I mean, that word edify doesn't give much meaning to me. It just, I don't know, it just leaves it more of a blank in my mind. And if any man think, the word that shouldn't be there. If any man think he knows anything, he knows not yet as he ought to know. The word nothing shouldn't be there. It should be not, N-O-T. He knows not yet as he ought to know. What's it saying? What's that verse saying? If you think you know something, you're still yet in. If you think you know something and that knowledge makes you better than somebody else, you don't know anything yet. You're only knowing the letter of the word. Hello? You're not knowing by the Spirit. If you know this knowledge by the Spirit of God, there'll be no pride in your life, will there? It's by the carnal knowledge that carnal mind, the knowledge in that carnal mind that makes you puff yourself up. Okay? What did you say, hon? Yeah. If you know what it, by the Spirit of God, you're not puffed up about what you know. It's just you use that to edify and encourage and to confirm and to build up rather than trying to... Anytime, put it this way, anytime that you get in pride, what are you doing to other people? Exactly. You're putting them down, you're elevating yourself. When you elevate yourself, you're putting them down. So it's a negative aspect. Do any of us need that in our lives? Nope, I don't need it. Love will put everybody in the same place. Love will pick them up and bring themselves down. But if any man love God, the same is known by him, not of him. The word by is the word hupo, 5259 in your Strong's dictionary. But if you love God, the same is known by him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol or an image is nothing in the world. They're just images. What is images?
Imitation.
Or an illusion. They're an illusion of something. Okay? See, if I have an image of an apple in my hand, is it really an apple? It's an image. It's an illusion. It's not real. If I had a picture of an apple in my hand, I wouldn't have an apple in my hand, would I? I just have a picture of it. It's just an illusion. It's not real. Still an illusion, isn't it? Still an illusion.
Well, even a real apple is just a reflection of light on it, and it's not real until you can touch it.
Mm-hmm. Still just an image.
Yeah,
still just an image.
Yeah, it's an image, right?
Right, just an image. So we know that an image is nothing in the world. Also, because none, or not even one other God, there is none other God but one. Okay, because there is no other God but one, not even more than one. Verse 5 goes on to say, because, the word though should literally say, even if perhaps. Because even if perhaps there be some that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. And they're spelled with a small letter, aren't they? Not speaking about true gods. There's all kinds of false images in the world, isn't there? Our minds are filled with false images that we need to deal with. We need to quit living on the illusion and live on the reality of what God said. Remember what Jesus said in the temptation? Man shall not live by bread alone or food alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So our life really comes from where? The Word of God. True? So that's why he's saying this here. Matt, back up. Many gods and lords. See, all those images that we have in our heads, what I was going at, all those images we have in our mind, there's no life in those things. Do you know how many people live in total chaos in their lives because of these images? Does anybody have an idea how many people do that? Everybody walks in the world, right? If they're walking in the Spirit, those illusions don't control you. Had a man call me tonight, Mark, and by the way, Mark said, tell everybody hello. He was saying that it wasn't fair the way he got dealt something. He was joking with me about his personality. He said, your woman's in control more than mine. Mine's a mess. Talking about his soul. And I said, well, I didn't make that call. You have to talk to the one who did it. You know, he made that. It's just illusions out here. And you got to get those illusions out of your mind so you can actually live under the reality of God. We believe, 90% of the people on the face of this earth believe what people say over what God says. They believe what people say versus what God says. God says we're free, we're righteous, we're holy. How many people out there have ever come up to you and tell you you're righteous and holy?
A few. Or they said that I thought I was.
They said you thought you was. But I mean, how many people has told you they feel that you're holy and righteous? See? Because they'll believe what humanity says over what God says. God says you are righteous. You are holy. You're not guilty. You're unblameable, irreprovable.
That goes back to verse 1.
What, babe?
Concerning the offering of the idols.
Yeah.
Once you start treating the idol, it's
yep.
That's when the knowledge starts stuffing up. Mm-hmm.
All those idolatrous things that we feed upon.
Mm-hmm.
They have to encourage them, confirm them, help them build them back up. So it's all about the world believing in itself. Humanity is in love with humanity. Church is no different. Church is so humanistic it's unbelievable. Of course, they don't think they are, do they? They think they're walking right there with God, but not. And if you say that, they'll throw rocks at you. And I've had them throw it at me before, so it's no big deal. Verse 6 goes on to say this, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and we through Him. We consist through Him. Now in Colossians 1, verse 16... I'll read you a verse out of this, a few verses. Colossians 1, verse 16. Or I'll back up to 15. It's talking about Jesus, he said, or Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. He's the representation of the invisible or the unseen God, the firstborn of all creation. He's the first of the creation. Because by Him or in Him were all things created that are in heaven, in the spirit realm, and that are in earth, in the flesh, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, excuse me, or principalities, or powers. All things were created through Him and to Him, is what it should say. And He is to be, before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He possess preeminence. Because it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness dwelled. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, through Him to reconcile all, and the word things isn't there, to reconcile all to Himself, through Him, I say, whether things in earth, that's in the flesh, or things in heaven, the spirit realm. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, but now has He reconciled. If you were enemies in your mind, He said He's already reconciled you. There's an ED on the end of that word, enter. He's already done it. We don't believe it. See, and when we believe that we are not yet reconciled to God, what are we doing? We're believing the image in our head versus what God says. God said we are reconciled. Why don't we believe that? Because we believe in what our eyes see versus what God says. God says we're already reconciled. Look in the next verse. In the body of His flesh through death to present or to fully exhibit you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His presence. He already said right there, you're holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. Do you believe it? How many people believe that? It says right there, you're holy, you're unblameable, and you're unreprovable in His sight.
Where is that at?
It's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. Why won't we believe that? Well, we shouldn't be. We should believe what God says. See? We should believe what God says. This is what He says. That's what I'm trying to show people. To believe what He says, don't believe what somebody else says. Believe what this book says in the languages. See what it says for yourself. Okay? Okay, that was verse 6, wasn't it? Verse 7. The word howbeit should be but. But there is not in every man, or not in all, it's the Greek word pos, there is not in all that knowledge. Did you hear that? Everyone doesn't have the knowledge that God created all and he's in all, and he's in control of all things, do they? Does that mean it's not true? It just means they're not aware of the truth. That's all it is. This is the word that will offend some people. They're ignorant. True or false? They're ignorant of the truth. If you had the truth, then you couldn't be living the lives the world's living, could you? See? So it has to be ignorance. It's not stupidity, because stupidity means you don't even have, you know the truth and won't do it. But these people don't have the truth, so they're ignorant. They're lacking the information and knowledge they need to make the correct decisions. So this knowledge is not in all. Because some with conscience, okay? For some, literally, being accustomed, that word with conscience should be being accustomed to the idol until this hour, eat it as a thing offered or eat it as an idolatrous offering. And their conscience being weak is defiled. So he's saying there's some people that don't have this knowledge about God and the fact that meat doesn't hurt you, whether it comes from an idolatrous temple or not. It's just flesh, isn't it? It does not make, it's not what defiles you that goes in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth. True? And he's saying some people don't realize this. So when they eat this idolatrous offering, guess what? Their conscience is defiled because they believe they've done something bad. Right? If you think you've done something bad or wrong, you're going to give yourself a hard time. Do you realize that? Yep. They took the custom of eating this stuff and think it's, you know, what it should be. Excuse me. But food recommends us not to God. What you eat or don't eat don't have anything to do with making whether you are hooked up with God. Right? But the Word. Let's back up here a minute. Start in verse 8. Let's go back up here in verse 7. And we're talking about that this knowledge is not in every man. Because some, with being accustomed to the, or comfortable with the idols, until this very hour, they eat it as a thing offered to an idol or as a idolatrous offering, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Some people eat it to go along with the crowd. It's just like people going to, and I want to talk of it as an internal idolatrous offering up here. See, we eat the stuff that the church gives us, don't we? Why? If we don't, we're not going with the flow. We get accustomed to eating that stuff that they regurgitate and throw out there and tell you it's good food. How about a rapture? If you say there's no rapture, I guarantee you I could go through this town and have you hung up on a tree telling, Bob, you don't believe in a rapture. They'll hang you on a tree for you. You can't get through town. They want to crucify you. See, put you on the spit and roast you. You know, it don't make any difference. See, that's what I'm saying. This is something internal. They eat things sacrificed to idols. When I eat or partake with my heart, with my mind, all this stuff that the church throws out here, this idolatrous stuff that they say is church, don't you know that somebody with a weak conscience without having this true knowledge of God, don't you know my conscience is defiled? Sure. They're accustomed to eat it, so they just keep on eating it. And they say, Mom and Dad eat it, Grandma will eat it, so I got to eat it too. They've never looked to see if it's an idolatrous offering or not, have they? So we got to get away from this understanding that everything that he's talking about here is natural. There you go. See, that's some more of that idolatrous offering. And you partake of that understanding, guess what it's going to do? It's going to defile you. Because you say, whoops, I've never been baptized. I guess I'm destined for hell. How could it be that when the book tells us in Ecclesiastes 12:7, when we die, it's talking about when we die there in Ecclesiastes 12:7, the flesh goes back to the earth from where it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. I can't find hell in there. No, I understand that. And Jesus tried to teach us constantly. Every time someone asked him a question, he answered them with a question. And in turn, what was he saying to them? Think. Think. Use the mind that I created in you. And the church don't want you to think. Our school systems do not teach us to think. They teach us to memorize what someone else said and then vomit it up whenever they get ready to ask a question. Just vomit up whatever somebody else said. to challenge. They're afraid to challenge. If Jesus was afraid to challenge the religious system of the day, do you think he'd have been the sacrifice? He knew what his Father said, and that means if I know what my Father is saying, I got enough guts to stand up. Romans 8 tells me that. You know what Romans 8 says? Let me take you and read it to you. Let me show you something. Well, let me show you. I know there's a lot in Romans 8. Let me read to you verse 30. And whom he did predetermine, them he also called, and whom he called, them he justified, or literally rendered innocent, and whom he rendered innocent, them he glorified. What shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let me say it another way. Who cares who's against us? I don't care. Do you, Bob? I could care less. What difference does it make to me if someone's against me? If they're against me, they're surely not serving God, are they? Because God has no division. People do. Didn't Paul say at the beginning of this chapter, these chapters in this first book of Corinthians, if there's still envy and strife amongst you and jealousies, you're yet carnal. You're not spiritual. Well, you got to look at that. Did he say it? Did he mean it? What do you think? Well, if he said it and he meant it, then why do we live it in carnality then? Why do we have strife and bickering and jealousies and arguments all the time? See, I don't believe that. I don't believe we should be doing that. If we're really sons of God, we should not be doing that. That's not condemnation. That's just telling you the truth. We've got to learn to get out of this foolishness, out of these carnal ways of thinking. And we'll be fine. Okay, now we go to verse 8. We've got to realize all this stuff's going on inside of us. Now, but food recommends us not to God, because neither if we eat are we to excel. Not the better, but should say, are we to excel? Neither if we eat not are we inferior. You see what I'm saying? Some people say, well, if you eat that meat that sacrificed to idols, that means that you're going to excel. And others say, well, if you eat it, you're going to be worse off. He says, no, it doesn't mean either way. Eating food is just food. Jesus said, what goes in the mouth comes out the draught, doesn't he? And just dumped off. It's not used. It's waste. We use, the body uses what it needs and dumps off the rest of it. And that's what goes in your mouth. But what goes in your spirit, that's what stays in there. See? There's the nutrients we've got to live by, the Word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Where's his mouth? We're his mouth. He bought us. This mouth belongs to him. It didn't just mean what come out of the heavens, out of the clouds, when I hear this big booming voice. That's not what he's talking about. I live by the words that come out of the mouth of God. My mouth belongs to God, doesn't it? Doesn't yours? He bought you with a price. You're not your own. So the words that come through my mouth when I'm speaking, people might think I'm out here preaching to all these people. No, I'm not out here preaching to a bunch of people. I'm preaching to myself. And if I can't preach to myself, then I ain't got no business doing anything. See, that's what the church world does. They just preach to people. And the preachers themselves are more vile than the people they're preaching to. That's a problem. Major problem. Because they think they have attained, see? And then in the second verse he say, if any man think that he knows something, he knoweth not yet how he ought to know. And that's where most preachers are today. That's the way it is. Okay, verse 9. But take heed, lest by any means this, what? Literally, freedom or privilege of yours becomes a occasion of apostasy. Where it says stumbling block, it should be an occasion of apostasy. What does apostasy mean? It means getting lukewarm, not really fired up about anything. I love to see people that are excited about life. And you know, I see people, even in the natural, get excited about things. But I don't see people in the church world get excited about knowing the truth of God. Well, they're not presenting any truth to start with. If they don't explain what's going on, and if, you know, let me say it this way. If I come in here and I'm humdrum and I'm never excited about anything, do you think I'm going to excite anybody? But if you can see in my life that I'm excited about what God is doing and the truths He's showing me, I hear people all the time say, when I listen to your tapes, I'm excited because I can hear the excitement in your words. I can hear that excitement. I know this is not a game you're playing. This is life. And that stirs someone else because life begets life. See? And this humdrum, ho-hum, well, we got an hour in, let's go home. That's not what God's about. Thought about all these rules and regulations. It doesn't make any difference if we're here 15 hours a day. What difference does it make if it's with God? Who cares? Time is irrelevant to God, isn't it? Time was created for humanity. Now, if you're in the presence of God, what else you need? See? I've preached places and go from early in the day till midnight, 1 o'clock, and not even stopped to eat. Never even got hungry. Because I was feeding off of the Word of God, off the Spirit of God, and I didn't need to eat. Sooner or later, I know that would run out, and then I'll have to eat later on, but I can go all day long when I got to. It doesn't make any difference. When God's pressing me to do something, you don't even think about those things. Because you're tapped into the supply of life. That's greater than anything this world has to offer. Okay. Where are we at? 10? No, I haven't finished that. Verse 9, I said, the stumbling block was a reason to an occasion of apostasy to them that are what? Well, the language doesn't say it that way. It's another word added to it. The word weak's there, but there's a word before it. Morally weak. They're morally weak. Not just weak in physical, we're talking morally. So in their mind, they really don't understand. They're weak in their understanding. They don't know the truth of God, do they? If they had this knowledge that he was talking about back up here in verse 7, they wouldn't be morally weak, would they? They're still into the religious custom. So we're talking about these ones that are morally weak because they don't have the knowledge of God in their life. What did Hosea 4 say, 4 and 6? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of God. Let me turn there in that Hosea chapter 4. Let me show you something. There's more to it than just that verse. It starts out in the very first verse of chapter 4. I'm going to read you the first few verses out of Hosea. First six verses I'm going to read. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear. Okay? And it literally, the word hear is shama, which means hear with the intent to respond intelligently. Okay? So if God tells me to do something and I hear it intelligently, then I really have no option but to respond to what he said, do I? See? And that's what people don't understand. It's not just hear it with your ears. Hear what? The word of the Lord. See, I got to hear the word of the Lord intelligently with the intent to respond, you children or you sons of Israel. Because the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And honey, we be the land. Do you understand? We are the land. And he says there's no truth, there's no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land.